following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday, live from Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan from HuskerOnline.com will be here between 12 and 1. He'll be recapping Wisconsin, previewing Minnesota, talking a little bit of recruiting. The Huskers have picked up another player here in the last week, and we'll answer your questions as well.
And there's plenty of those. There's plenty of those.
I'm sure there will be. Will they be different questions, or will they be the same questions that we have to answer and have been answering after
Have they been answered?
I mean, I think big time losses.
I think the questions are still there. I just don't know if the answers are satisfies anybody. You know, I think the same questions keep coming up the last couple of years, and I don't have a good answer for it. I don't think the coaching staff has a good answer for it, but there has been a tendency to be in the situation that Nebraska is in right now, and it's not where Nebraska obviously wants to be, and nobody wants to be in that position. I don't know what the answer is. If it was that easy, I'd be making a lot of money as a consultant for a university somewhere.
Well, that would be outstanding, wouldn't it, just to find the answer.
I might even do it for free at a couple places.
Well, there you go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number. If you would like to email us, it's Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, the Twitter address at ESPN1460-1550. Amir Abdullah named one of 10 semifinalists this morning for the Doak Walker Award given to the nation's top running back. The second straight season, Abdullah has been a semifinalist. But let's be frank, not going to win it now. The injury and the last 3 weeks have taken his name totally off the national radar.
We may have seen the guy that wins that on Saturday night wearing red, but it had a W on the side of the helmet, not an N.
So Melvin Gordon has moved up to second in the Heisman watch. That puts him number one in the running back category, if you will, behind some of those that are out there like ESPN, CBS Sports, Marcus Mariota, by the way, the quarterback of Oregon right now, is just kind of sitting there. He's not doing anything good, bad, indifferent. That's the whole story. And so he's sitting in the one slot right now just over Gordon. And Gordon, if Wisconsin finds a way, we were talking about Nebraska. If Abdullah and Nebraska would have found a way to win the Big Ten championship, maybe he had a chance at all these awards and the Heisman Trophy. Now Melvin Gordon has that opportunity.
And the voting would take place right after the Big Ten championship game. If he has a Big Ten championship game, if the Badgers happen to win that, it could vault him up there. He would certainly have a lot of momentum. The month of November and early part of December can be huge for him. I think it's possible because Mariota, again, is not having those games that are kind of those marquee games. Well, Gordon has. I mean, that running for over 400 yards against a conference rival, that is one of those marquee games. And if he wins the Big Ten championship game, running for 200, 250 yards, something like that, boy, that's a pretty strong resume.
I think Abdullah might have an outside chance of being one of the finalists here. I mean, seriously, I'm going to read the names to you. You're going to know two of them. And that's because one of them, outside of Amir and outside of Melvin Gordon, Tevin Coleman, because he's made a little bit of noise at Indiana. Mm-hmm. You may know that. And Duke Johnson from Miami. Nobody outside of the crazy junkie can tell me where Jai plays. And I'm not even pronouncing that right. He's a junior at Boise State. Javarius Allen, junior, USC. Cameron Artis Payne, senior, Auburn. You may know that one. Matt Breida, sophomore, Georgia Southern. James Conner, sophomore, Pittsburgh. Devin Johnson, junior, Marshall. All those guys, forget about it.
And we're seeing a difference in football, both at the pro and collegiate level, in terms of they really throw the ball around. And it really has kind of changed the perception we have of running backs in the college level and in the pro level. They're just not as valuable as they once were.
Well, it's time for our Loper Link. We'll get more to that again. Join us for our Husker Lunch today. Doug and Daddy from 11 to 12. Sean Callahan from 12 to 1. Come in, order your favorite meal, Wednesday wing special, but get anything off the menu and you can't go wrong. Time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. Well, the NCAA Regional Cross Country Meet will be held at Wayne this Saturday, and Coach Brady Bonzel joins us to chat about it. Brady, good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you guys used the Doak Walker Award in Division I football as just a little appetizer for the main course and talking
there you
about
go.
The
yeah.
Division II Regional Cross Country Championships up in Wayne this weekend. That's great. I'm sure those guys appreciate the airtime you gave them. So.
Well, let's
Madison, Wisconsin, Wayne. It's a lot of the same. Brady.
Mike yeah, Gross exactly. will appreciate the Wayne talk. I yeah. know that. Well, Brady, since we last chatted, you guys have taken a little time off to prepare for this. You have been at the MIAA Championships where the men finished second and then moved into the national rankings where they are 23rd and have put yourself in position. And again, you don't run it on paper like any other sport, but if we went by paper, you guys would be on to nationals.
Yeah, you know, and I think at this point, you know, those regional rankings, if you were just to rank it up to what's happened so far, they probably are accurate at this point. I felt like our men really could have been nationally ranked quite a while ago. But, you know, I almost would have rather we either weren't ranked or we'd been ranked 2 months ago as opposed to getting the rankings just right before the regional meet. That's just one more unimportant thing for them to possibly get distracted by. But, yeah, our men definitely have a shot at qualifying. I mean, we've got to do it on that day. There are honestly – 8 or 9 teams that are good enough to get one of those 4 spots. So we're not shoo-in by any sense. But yeah, if we run well, we can definitely qualify.
Well, Brady, we'll talk a little bit about your opponents in terms of the other teams and stuff. But you run not just against your opponents, but you also run against the course. What is that course going to bring to you guys? Does it fit your guys' style? Are you going to be comfortable with it?
Yeah, you know, it's not an easy course. It's like a lot of places when you run on a golf course, you pull in and you look at it, and it doesn't look like it's all that hard. But, you know, for the purposes of golf, they throw in hills and things in all kinds of odd places. And then when you end up throwing a cross-country course on that, it always ends up being a little bit harder than you think. So yeah, it's a tough course. I mean, you never know. You move up. The guys move up from 8K to 10K. The gals are used to running 6K. We run 6K throughout the year quite a bit. It probably is a little bit tougher than some of the other courses we've been on. I think the weather's going to factor in. You know, they've had 5 inches of snow up there, and even though it's warmed up here in Kearney, as I've been watching the weather, it's probably 10 to 15 degrees colder every day this week in Wayne than what it is in Kearney. So can we get enough of it to melt? And, you know, if you look at the temps for Saturday, it's supposed to be mid-40s, but the when the race goes off and it's 37 degrees, that's the warmest it's been in Wayne in 2 weeks. So any of those things can factor in, but really a lot of it honestly just comes down to how tough are you? Not just physically tough, being able to endure pain, which is a big issue in our sport, but just the mental component of being patient. And, you know, as our men have competed, they've moved up a lot in races as it goes along. At the halfway point, the MIAA meet, kind of glad that wasn't where we were at the finishing point, because we moved up a lot over the last half of the race. And when the race is bigger and more important and everything, it could be easy to stress out early in the race if you aren't where you think you should be, but just be patient. And, you know, and on the women's side, you know, for someone like Morgan Benish, who's got an outside chance to qualify individually, for her it's a matter of sticking her nose in there and being up in the front from the very beginning and just being able to grind away and hang in there the whole time.
Talk with Brady Bonzel, head cross-country coach at UNK. They head up to Wayne State for the regionals coming up on Saturday. And you look at this men's team, and it's built around the state of Nebraska, which is very unusual. You, of course, at this level, you have to have area talent, but usually you see some names dotted in there from around the Midwest. But this has really been a homegrown-built team.
You know, and that's, if you look at our track team, that's pretty much where we've had our success. You know, we are not a big scholarship team. The teams that we are competing against to try to qualify for the national meet are either track and field programs that have 2 to 3 times the scholarship money we have, like most of the MIAA schools, or they're a team that has about the same amount we have. And rather than trying to have a balanced track team like we do, they maybe focus all their scholarship resources just towards distance runners. So that's one of the odd things about cross country, is so much of the success is determined by what your track philosophy is and what kind of a team you put together. And so we managed to, with, you know, fairly, you know, just not huge. Nobody got a full ride on our team, but we've had a lot of good students who have academic scholarships. And we have people for whom Kearney might have been a school that would have been on their radar, even if they weren't a runner. And so that's for us, a lot of times, you know, in a sense, the people that we draw from. And, you know, that's not always bad. Sometimes the person who's from the area or from the state, there's a little more connection to the school for them. So right away, it's maybe a little bit more important to them. There's a little more pride in that school or that team than that would be if they were coming from further away. So there is a balance to that. I'm not saying we don't want students from further away to be part of our team. We'd love that. It's probably more natural that it ends up happening the way it does on our team.
Brady, obviously, it's easy to point out your first and second runner and say, you know, that they need to score well for you to win. But really, cross country, it's how the last two guys that are going to be scoring for you, how they run. Is there a time, is there a place that they kind of need to finish? And is there something during the race you're going to look at and say, you know what, we got a shot at this top four?
You know, we've just managed to, with that, I don't preach by any sense pack running that all five guys have to be together at a certain point in the race, but we've kind of done that. We've had 5 or 6 guys together. At the MIAA meet, probably about 2/3 of the way through the race, our 5 men that ended up scoring for us were sitting 11th through 15th, just literally, and then all running within a stride and a half of each other, just running together. Brian Hill moved up from there, and he just literally ran out of time. He ended up 4th, but was still moving up at the end. So I think that's going to be important for it. It doesn't have to turn out that way, but that's kind of developed into our identity, you know. And on the women's side, you know, it's just a matter of our 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. I think those 3 have developed a little bit of that pack type of approach where they run together for a pretty big part of the race. I tell you, the women's team, as a team, probably not going to qualify for nationals. If we were to finish top 10 in the region, top 12 even, I'd be thrilled. But if you look at what that team endured at the beginning of the season, some of the people that aren't able to run for us, right, people that are on our team that weren't able to run for us right now, and some of them just dealing with, you know, just dealing with medical stuff or things that are keeping them, not even running injuries necessarily, but some things that have kept them out. You know, the gals that are my 2nd, 3rd, and 4th runner probably should be my 5th, 6th, and 7th runners, and they haven't let that get them down. That's never affected their confidence. They're actually, you know, relative to their ability and where they should be, they might be running at a higher level than the guys are right now. The women ran really well at the conference meet. We were minus Morgan Benish. If you had thrown Morgan in there, our number one runner, we would have been 5th, which if you really had told me that back after our first meet, I would have said, you know, you're crazy. We wouldn't be able to do that. And so so for both of them, it's just a matter of, you know, staying together as a group and just having confidence through the whole race.
Dusty Jura is going to join us here in just a moment from UNK as we wrap up our conversation with the cross-country coach, Brady Bonzel. Coach, let's wrap it up with this then. You've touched a little bit on the men and a little bit on the women. How do you see things playing out unless it gets crazy on Saturday?
You know, on the men's side, both are, you know, Augustana, University of Sioux Falls, Missouri Southern are all very good. They're probably under, you know, they're all ranked in the top, I think, 15 in the country, and they're all underranked nationally. So, you know, they're very good. I think a couple of them are beatable for us on the right day. Definitely, you know, even at the conference meet, Southern beat us 22-55. But if each one of my guys had run 10 seconds faster, the score would have been 32-33. Well, 10 seconds faster in a race that takes 25 minutes is nothing, you know. And so, but, you know, there's some other teams in there. I think Minnesota Moorhead is very underrated where they're at. Pitt State, Central Missouri, Mankato, they're all good. The women's side, our women's region is really, really good. And, again, looking at Morgan Benish trying to qualify individually, it's 4 women's teams that qualify, and then it's the top 3 individuals that aren't on those 4 teams. So once you take out the qualifiers on the teams, it's just the top 3 people. That's going to be really, really challenging. On the women's side, that part of it, is probably much tougher than the men's side in our region, but she's got a shot. So, and what's hard about that is, Derek, while the race is going on, you don't know which teams are qualifying, so you really don't know which individual she needs to beat, you know. So you just go out and do as well as you can.
All right, Brady, we wish you the best of luck. At least it won't be a long trip compared to a lot of the other ones in the conference. So go up, get qualified, and we'll get you ready for Nationals.
That sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brady. Brady Bonzel, the head coach of not only UNK Cross Country, but track as they get ready to embark up to Wayne State. That is the good thing. At least it's close.
And again, it's a course that they probably know fairly well. And you know, the climate and all that stuff, it's just – I think the weather could be a factor, as you kind of talked about. You can't really run with snowshoes. But the thing is, it's going to affect everybody. You know, it's going to affect everybody the same. So it's just a matter of gritting
Thanks,
it out.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Coach. That's good
coach
stuff.
Coach speak. Yeah, there you go.
Well, we continue on with our local link. We'll have Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report joining us. We'll have Sean Callahan with us here as part of our Husker Lunch. He'll join us on the show at the end of the program. Then from 12 to 1, of course, live here at Cunningham's. But right now, we bring in Dusty Jura, fresh off a fun weekend, I think, Dusty, before the official stuff that we want to talk about. The team of distinction was honored over the weekend, and it looked like that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was just an absolute blast. You know, I haven't seen some of those guys for a while, and actually every single one of them came back. They had a wonderful experience. There was a great ceremony during the halftime, and just a great way to really start off the basketball season. Would have been nice to get a win, but again, it was a great experience and a great event.
It does seem to me that 2003 team, they talked a little bit about some of them are fantasy football leagues together, and they get together and they do all that. I mean, it just really seemed like a very close-knit group, and it's always neat to get people to enjoy each other's company together.
Yeah, it really is. You know, they obviously had such a good time during their 4 years here, and to hear people like Richard Dion, who lives up in the Pacific Northwest, who every single time you send him an email about something, he's like, "Yep, I'll be there in a second." And Marty Levinson out in California heard about it and was just planning right away to get back. It's really something truly amazing, and I think it kind of shows. Really the relationships that can be established through college athletics and through the experiences of these kids over at UNK.
Talking with Dusty Jura here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dusty, how important is it, because not every team has, and pick out the number, but basketball 12 to 15, they're not all going to be best buddies. I mean, we can go back with the Husker reference. Tommy Frazier has come out, and we've been doing the Brooke Behringer documentary. They weren't great friends, but how important is it to have most of the team on the same page, not just on the court but off the court? Because obviously you guys were, and you could see the results.
Yeah, that was an amazing documentary, by the way. But it's your spending for basketball, for example. I mean, you have 5 months during the season where you are spending so much time that's not even on the court during practice, during games, but on bus trips, during training tables, during studying tables. It's nonstop. So if you don't have a type of camaraderie and a real good mesh, I mean it's going to be hard to overcome on when you're trying to perform.
Have you guys had a chance to kind of communicate that or emulate that in front of the current team? Because it seems to me that, you know, you guys are having a pretty good time. Do you guys get a chance to kind of meet with the current team?
I'll tell you what about the current team. You know, I've kind of been involved a little bit the last couple of years, seeing them come into games. This current team that they have for UNK men's basketball really, I think, epitomizes what a team like in 2003 was, and the teams that were like, what it was like when I was there in 4-07. They are just a great group of guys. They enjoy each other's company, and they go to battle for one another. And it kind of just shows you, I know that they've only played one game and it was a loss to a really tough Colorado School of Mines team, but I think as the season develops, you're going to see a great team of great guys that work hard, and they're going to get some wins.
Well, they kind of shot the ball. Mines did, like those teams you used to play
60%,
on. That's
yeah.
Pretty amazing. But Lopers will be at Chadron State on Friday. The women are home on Friday. We're talking with the UNK Director of Development, Dusty Jura, and wanted to give a couple of comments about the Loper Fund. Some people will go, well, what's the Loper Fund? Some people are going to want to know what you're wanting to talk about the Loper Fund. So, Dusty, what's going on with the Loper Fund?
Yeah, no problem. Well, first, those that don't know, the Loper Fund is basically the annual campaign we do to try to generate support for Loper Athletics. And the good thing is, it's a centralized fund that really supports all 17 of our programs. So instead of all 17 of our coaches and representatives of programs trying to go out and fundraise dollars all on their own, people can come to the Loper Fund and designate a gift through the Loper Fund to the program that they want to support. And it goes right to the program, and then they also get a receipt for the for their donation to the program. So it just really simplifies things. And if people are going to be willing to support us and our mission at Loper Athletics, we want to be able to make that process as easy as possible. And that's exactly what the Loper Fund does.
Now, you say it's an annual thing, but, I mean, obviously 52X out of the year, you're kind of working toward that. What are some things that you're doing? I mean, is it coming to a head right now, kind of in the calendar? Where are we?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So it is an annual fund, but it is ongoing. The annual part of it is we want to do a one-time kind of mailer out to our community members, our business, our athletic alumni, and other supporters in the area regarding the Loper Fund. And that's actually going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So it's kind of, you know, full on for the next couple of weeks, trying to show the importance of supporting our student athletes, and then continuing that through the year, and then re-energizing it again at about this time next year. And it's been a wonderful thing. It's been fun to be a part of for me because of the experience I had down at UNK. It's easy to kind of go to bat for our student athletes because I know the experiences that they're having, and it's just been great. So I hope people really find some value in it and find some value in supporting our student athletes.
Dusty Jura, the director of development at UNK, talking about the Loper Fund and some athletics going on up at UNK. And I would be remiss, I hope this isn't a curveball for you, but obviously the dismissal of Coach Morris, when you're talking fundraising, that is the biggest sport on campus. Even though I know basketball is near and dear to our heart and we've got great programs elsewhere, how does that affect fundraising? I know there are major donors. I mean, we hear about it at all levels, whether it's UNK, Division I, that want to have a input, let's say, in what happens at UNK. When you are making a coaching change, which the Lopers haven't had to do in a long, long time in really any sport, are you getting feedback through the fundraising department and how that may affect you during this time?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's happened pretty recently, so I'll be interested to see kind of how it plays out. But I think it would be ignorant to not think that there are some people who had relationships with Coach Morris and were supporting us because of it. I mean, you know, he was here for 28 years and did just a ton of stuff to continue the program and progress the program, and even from the fundraising side with his role with the Loper backers and the banquet. You know, he's just done tons over his time here, so it's hard not to think that some people wouldn't want to continue to support the program because of that. However, I really don't think it's going to be too much of an issue moving forward, because the reason why we do everything that we do is for the experience of the student athlete, and it's the kids that are on the field that are competing wearing the blue and gold. And you know, that's the great thing about having a guy like Dr. Plinsky at the top of the helm, because everything that he does is centralized on the fact that he wants to provide the best experience for our student athletes when they're wearing the blue and gold, when they're competing for UNK. So, you know, I don't anticipate it being a huge problem. Either way, we're just going to progress and keep going, and things will work out.
You mentioned that flyers are going to be sent out in the mail. I'm sure there's some folks that you'd love to get on the mailing list. If someone's hearing this, doesn't necessarily get the flyer, what are some steps they can take to contact you and get themselves on a list?
Yeah, no problem. So there's obviously the people who do get the mailer. You can support us by just sending in the contribution card that's attached to it. If you want to support and you don't get that mailer, you can simply go to loperfund.com. We made it that easy, loperfund.com, and you can give online, and it takes about 2 minutes for the normal person, takes about 10 minutes for me because I'm computer illiterate. And then the other thing is you can just contact me, and my number is 308-698-5278, and if you want to talk Loper Fund, you want to talk men's basketball, you want to talk about anything and everything, that's where I'm at.
Awesome. Dusty, anything that we missed?
I think you guys covered it. You guys always do. I know you got a lot of other things to talk about with the rest of the program, and you guys always do such a great job to help us and help our mission down at UNK, and I just want to say that we really appreciate all the support that you guys give us.
Well, appreciate it, Dusty.
Thank you.
I hope – I'm looking at him, and I'm saying maybe it's just the light here at Cunningham's, but he's like, you know, in 10 years he'll look like Plinsky. I mean, you know, he's got the look going right there. He's got the GQ look. He's, you know,
and he's too young to be computer illiterate. I thought that was a rule of your generation.
Trust me, you are never too young to be computer illiterate. I am the perfect example. And as far as the suit today, I just like to say this is called painting the rust. Putting on a suit and painting the rust.
We got to get you back for a noon pickup game, do we?
No, we do not. That is something that hasn't been happening lately. Thank goodness.
Well, Dusty, we appreciate you coming down, and have a great Thanksgiving and holidays, and we'll see you soon.
You guys as well. Thank you.
That's Dusty Jura, Director of Development for the University of Nebraska at Kearney, part of our Loper Link. And again, we're at that time of the year, especially Christmas. There are a lot of campaigns going on out there. Kind of a lot of folks are asking for your time. Again, UNK, one of the lifebloods of not only the community of Kearney, but look at all the kids and the athletes that we've talked about for years, Randy, from around the area. So, you know, if you're in Amherst or Sumner or Grand Island, where we've seen, you know, just you can pick out all these communities where you have kids going to school here. This is maybe your opportunity to help a certain program. That's the cool part about it.
Yeah, there's a tremendous infusion of energy that the athletic program that the university itself gives, not just to Kearney, but the entire region.
Maybe Columbus.
Maybe even Columbus, all the way out that way.
You know, I did want to come back in with just one more thing. The good thing about Loper Athletics is you're not only supporting UNK, but you are supporting Nebraska student-athletes. We have roughly 60% of our student-athletes are from the state of Nebraska, which is a higher percentage than anybody else in the university system. So, yes, you are supporting Loper Athletics, but you're also supporting the state of Nebraska and the youth in there that are trying to compete in athletics.
Sounds great. That's a big number. I didn't even realize that.
That's even higher than I thought.
There you go. I'm going to hit a couple more athletic announcements here from UNK, including Liz McGowan is the MIAA Volleyball Specialist of the Week. The libero became the all-time digs leader with 2,074, a record that had held for nearly 20 years, set by Angie Usher out of the 1995 season. As far as basketball, we talked about that. The women fell on Monday in their home opener, 117-115 in double overtime. Coach Janey probably wants to wrap that amount of points up and take it with him for the rest of the season. They will host Southwest Minnesota State on Friday. As we said, the men will go to Chadron State. The men fell in an entertaining ball game, 91-83 to Colorado Mines.
And Colorado Mines is a good basketball team. And
rated by
and,
some.
Yeah, and they shot about 70%. Their three-point shooting and their field goal shooting, their percentages were almost identical. And when that happens, you're in a little bit, you know, you're facing a hot shooting team.
Wrestling team is back on the road this Saturday, and the volleyball team will play tomorrow at noon, and they are the 6th seed taking on the 3 seed Southwest Minnesota State. UNK is 27-3. Southwest Minnesota State is 21-9. They are number 4 in the nation in the coaches poll, and I'm not going to go on the rant because I already have done it. We're not going to rehash football because we've already done it on the program this week, but they are continuing the national search, and we appreciate those. And again, we have been in contact with Coach Daryl Morris, and if Coach Morris at any time wants to chat about his Loper football team or career, we have said that he is more than welcome to be with us here on the show.
Absolutely, and going back to volleyball, it does seem a little unfortunate that the regional tournament will actually be tougher than the national tournament. There will be more rated teams in this regional tournament than there will be at the national tournament, and there's something just inherently wrong with that.
2-3 Both number 4s, 5 and 6 in the nation are all in this region.
Yeah, again, your regional tournament should not be harder than the national tournament, and that's exactly what's going on here.
That's our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. We are here at Cunningham's and invite you to join us today between 12 and 1 o'clock. Sean Callahan is here. Is he bearing books? Does he have gifts? I think Sean is bearing gifts today. Probably not for us, though. We'll talk with Sean.
No, that's not true.
A little bit later on in the program. And when we come back, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report to preview the state football finals, which are next Monday and Tuesday here on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 19th and 20th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, is bigger than ever this year, with an additional building full of exhibitors ready to help your ag business succeed. Enjoy free lunches and entertainment, and register for a chance to win a new Polaris Sportsman 400. Sponsored by First National Bank, Pioneer, NTD, and KRVN. The 2014 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 19th and 20th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see mainly sunny skies in our forecast for today. It's met breezy northwest winds with a high near 31 degrees. And we'll have partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 14. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Danieski. Right now it's 30 degrees.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here at Cunningham's. Producer Jeff back in his studio playing air guitar and does a damn fine job, if I say so myself.
Yeah, yeah. I have to make sound when I do it.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, the MIAA and GPAC all-conference volleyball teams have just come out this morning. First team for the Lopers, libero Liz McGowan and junior setter Aaron Seeley. Second team, junior right side Kelly Carver, sophomore middle Bailey Sokolowski, and freshman outside LaRose Curry. Freshman Tara Ziegelbein is honorable mention, and Curry is the freshman of the year, and we'll get to the GPAC here in just a little bit. Our Husker lunch today, we draw out for the Minnesota tickets. Again,
you haven't already registered. Now's your last chance.
Yeah, you can get registered today. Last chance to, in Lincoln, see some very great football players, including Amir Abdullah, Kenny Bell, and this senior class. Important game. I know it's going to be sold out. I know it's going to be a raucous atmosphere. Problem is it's at 11 a.m., and that doesn't bother the folks here at Cunningham's. They're going to be open, and you can be eating and drinking at 11 a.m. should you want to be.
They're muddy. Bloody Mary's probably an option there, Mike.
You know, anything red is always fun around here, especially Bloody Mary's. So red beer, Bloody Mary's, take your choice.
That'll work.
Mike from Cunningham's is with us here getting ready for another busy weekend. We talk about all the games we go to, and it's always a different something every night. We might watch a volleyball team here, then a football game, then we go to state cross country, then we got another volleyball team. You guys got something different almost every night here. Some of the great regulars that we've had for years, but comedy night, bands, games. Fill us in on what's going on this weekend.
You know, of course, Wednesday night we got the house band right after the Husker lunch this afternoon. You know, the last chance to register for Minnesota tickets, of course. Then, of course, we have comedy night tomorrow night. That's always a good time. We've third week we've done it now, and crowds keep getting better, and of course they're just as funny as they've ever been. So we invite everybody to come out to that, and then of course Decoy this weekend, great live entertainment.
And you, Roy Haber is your headliner tomorrow night, and you got a show at 6, the dinner, and then at 10:30. So you can do it either
way.
We
got a little bit for anybody. So if you don't want to stay up till late, just come on down for dinner and have a good comedy show. And then if you feel a little bit more extraordinary, then you know, come out to the 10:30 show.
How about both?
Well, you could do that. That would be all right, too. Doug, I know you got it in you.
Let's go back upstairs. What's going on?
See how the show's different. Is the show different from 6 to 10:30? Is it?
It can change a little bit. Sometimes the early shows may be a little bit cleaner, maybe a little adult-oriented, more friendly. And then sometimes, you know, that later show can get a little bit, maybe a little bit different.
Hold on, I am setting
all my depends alarm. On those comics.
Setting my alarm here at 10 p.m.
10:30. It starts
yeah,
at 10:30.
Yeah, but I want to be here.
Absolutely. You got
to
warm up.
Go to Cunningham.
You got to get that front row seat, Doug.
In fact, not go to Cunningham, just go upstairs. That's what it's going to be so I know what's going on. Mike from Cunningham's with us. It's an early kickoff, but again, you're ready to go on Saturday.
That's right. We'll be open at 10 a.m., of course, with nothing but red beer and Bloody Marys or whatever might tickle your fancy, but we'll be here all day. Hopefully with another big red victory, better than last Saturday anyway.
Yeah, if we get people jumping up and down. And NFL Sundays, of course, come in. Every game is on. Whatever you want to watch, you can get it on right here at Cunningham's Husker Lunch today. Mike, what are you whipping up in the kitchen? Anything special for us today?
Well, everything's special. No, we got some great burgers, you know, of course, the shrimp, and of course, Wednesdays, you know, with the wings. So we just invite people to come down, take hear Sean's take on stuff, and see what he has to say about last Saturday's debacle.
All right, Michael, we'll let you get back to work. Always a pleasure being here.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Mike from Cunningham, stop by and join us for our Husker Lunch here today on ESPN Radio and at Cunningham's. Coming up, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report is scheduled to join us. We'll also be talking with Sean about the Huskers and everything else that is going on. While we hook up here with Bob, though, want to take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question for the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Outside of Wisconsin, who has the best chance to win the Big Ten West? 86% said Minnesota. And then there was a couple of diehards that took Nebraska. Of course, Minnesota controls their own destiny, yep. So that's why I went with them. How does Nebraska finish out the regular season? That's our poll question today. Vote on the Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. How does Nebraska finish out the regular season? 10-2, 9-3, 8-4. So 2-0, 1-1, or 0-2. Randy?
I think they're going to finish 10-2. And I do. I think they're going to win at home for the seniors this week because they lost their senior game a year ago, and that was a most unpleasant thing against Iowa. I think they're going to come out and play very well against Minnesota, and I just don't think Iowa is near as good as I thought Iowa was going to be going in, and I think they'll win that game as well, and they'll be 10-2, and they won't be in one of those elite bowl games, unfortunately, but I think you'll look back in the season, it'll be a pretty solid season. That really,
now,
the two losses
be.
They
now,
had.
Now, if they do get to Indy, they could be in one of those major bowl games. Still,
they
not
could.
The Final Four,
they could.
But they could.
But again, they don't control their own destiny anymore, you know, because Wisconsin has the tiebreaker. Wisconsin's going to have to lose one of their next two games. And I haven't looked at Wisconsin's schedule, but I don't think they got one of those big boys left because I think Ohio State and Michigan obviously have to play each other. I think they've already played Michigan State.
They play Iowa and Minnesota.
They play that's right. They play the exact same two teams, and I would say Wisconsin would be the favorite in both of those games. So I have a feeling it'll be Wisconsin in there, but that Minnesota does control their own destiny.
I'm not going to change from what I said at the beginning of the year. 10-2, lose to either Miami or Michigan State, and I picked Michigan State, and then lose one of the last three. Well, they lost to Wisconsin. Let's get the last two. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com, but let's switch it over to high school.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
On the Doug and Daddy Show from the worldwide headquarters in Central City, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and Bob, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Duda, Bush, good morning. I'm good. We're ready to play some championship football, get all this preliminary stuff out of the way.
Well, we talked the other day, Bob. The West kind of took a beating. They played some good football, but there are not a lot of teams in the western two-thirds of the state that are going to be making the trip to Lincoln outside of our friends out at Hemingford, our new friends out at Hemingford.
Yeah, I understand you've got a little cozy out there in Hemmingford. A tremendous opportunity to broaden your horizons there, dude. I'm proud of you for taking the chance. Well, part of that. Now, this doesn't solve everything, certainly, but, you know, that where that line falls and everything, when you go east and west in the smaller classes, that does make some difference. But, you know, it's just one of those years. There's just a lot of good football teams in the real east and in what gets turned out to be the east. That's just how it is.
And they changed things a little bit this year, Bob. Instead of having in classes C1 and C2, instead of having your east and west bracket, they just kind of seeded the entire state. Did you like that? Did you think that was the proper way to do this, to get the best two teams down to Lincoln?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the next thing to do is to get that thing done in 8-man. I don't care what it takes. I mean, if you're going to keep it at 32, it doesn't really matter. I say again, there's not much in the way of education going on any day there is a playoff football game. So we can throw that out the window. So now you're on to, you know, not just the game, but the experience. And all joking aside, you know, you put some of these kids on a bus for places they've never been before, it's going to be something they'll talk about the rest of their life. And so then you talk about the game, and then you talk about the natural fact that you're going to have the best teams, you know, that have proven to be the best teams over the course of the year, get an advantage. And it's one that they've earned. The one fly in the ointment is that deal where it doesn't matter if you're the number one seed, you can still leave home. I'm still not real wild about that, but, you know, I guess that's a minor concession. If we could get the true seeding, I'd be willing to trade that, no problem.
Yeah, and again, I'll just throw this out. The number one seed in Class B was 7-2, and Scotts Bluff was 8-1. So I don't think you are ever going to find a fair way to get that done. And we got some matchups that we've never had before, especially McCook going to Blair, Elkhorn going to McCook, Scotts Bluff hosting Omaha Scutt. But can you imagine Sacred Heart at Hemmingford? I don't know. Let's get into them. Let's break them down here. Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. Let's just take them from Game 1 to Game 6, Bob. And the first one will be in Class D2, where I think you've got an interesting matchup here. Exeter Milligan has shown that they can score a lot of points, but as the playoffs moved along, as it usually does, their point total has went down, and Sacred Heart gave them a better battle than I thought they would. And Anselmo Myrna just keeps putting the points on the board. Anselmo Myrna probably wasn't an overall top five team going into the playoffs. So what's your breakdown here in D2?
Well, Myrna hasn't played anybody as good as what Exeter has at the top end of its schedule. I mean, that's not to completely denigrate my dear friends at Anselmo Myrna, but I mean, they won't have seen anything like what they're going to see from Exeter Milligan. Having said that, you know, Trent Geiser at running back and Troy Gilligan at running back run behind a veteran line that's been together for a long time. They're used to winning. They have, you know, it seems weird to say about somebody that's 12-0, but they have nothing to lose. I mean, there isn't going to be anybody outside of immediate friends and family that's going to pick Anselmo Myrna to win this game. The best player on the field, you know, that's always a little go-to deal for me. You know, if you go with the best player, team with the best player on the field, well, you know, track record, makes you think that it's Kyle Jensen from Exeter Milligan. The kid's done everything you can ask, and he's done it when it mattered the most. But I'm telling you what, Trent Geiser is a good football player. And Myrna's chance is to find a way to cut him loose on a couple long ones, because I don't think they can. I don't necessarily think they want to, you know, try and grind out a bunch of long drives. And I think ultimately it's a game that Exeter Milligan wins and makes it back-to-back state championships.
Bob, let's talk a little D1. Brooding, Davenport, Shickley. They've really scored a lot of points in the playoffs. 50. They scored 51 games, 60 in another. But they would be taking on Hemmingford, who scored 71 in one game, but also won a game where they scored only 12. And they played a fairly defensive contest against Elm Creek in the semifinals. Who do you like in D1?
Well, I tell you what, Bush, and I've said this before, if they played 4-man football, I'm telling you, if they played four-man football, Hemmingford would do just fine in C1. They have got four boys that are just exceptional football players. Their running back, first time I got to see him, Duda, was there at Fullerton, Ethan Skinner. Ethan Skinner was a good running back last year, did all the things that good running backs do on an undefeated team. He's a lot bigger than he was last year, and the fury that he ran with against Fullerton was really impressive. The kid is good. Best player on the field, Colt Foster, the defensive end and tight end from Hemmingford. I love that kid. He's another one of those. I'm telling you, he'd be an all-stater in C1. He's that good. But the thing is that BDS, they'll do just about anything to make it interesting and then find a way to win. The one time that they got beat, they were without one of their best players, this linebacker Ben Elsnick. He's a junior. He got hurt on the first play, and Friend beat him. I mean, Friend beat him at home with one of the most remarkable drives you're ever going to hear about in eight-man football. Six plays, 26 seconds, scored on the last play of the game to win. That's when you know it's your night, okay? But BDS, again, Grant Norder is a name that we've talked about an awful lot, but there's so much more to that team. And I just really like the fact that BDS has been in some tight spots and found a way to win. And I don't know. I think there's a real strong possibility that BDS pulls an upset here in a game that I don't necessarily expect to get out of the 20s. I think there's a real good chance that there's going to be a lot of good defense played in that game.
I wouldn't call it an upset. I'll tell you what, and for Colt Foster, he wasn't that big of a factor against Elm Creek because Elm Creek did a good job of neutralizing him. And I'll tell you what, if you get a chance, Bob, and you can go and see it online or anywhere, the block that Christian Best put on Foster to allow LaShawn Thornburg to score a touchdown was one of the best blocks I've seen in a long, long time. And I'll be interesting. I kind of, you know, your heart kind of pulls for Hemmingford because they probably should have won it last year the way it played out. And now this is going to be the last chance because it looks like after this senior class, they're going to be back to kind of a normal type football team. But let's move on to Monday night. Class A, Omaha North has been crowned already, and the unfortunate circumstances now that involve the coaching situation at Creighton Prep, I mean, this looks like one where you're going to have a running clock in the second half, or you're going to have a Hoosier story. I don't even see anything in between here. Bob, your thoughts?
Well, I want to say this. I tell you what, I don't claim to know Chris Nizzi as well as I know my own dad, okay? But every time I've ever dealt with Chris Nizzi, he has been a professional. He has been a gentleman. And I know there are more people than him involved in this. I feel badly for all of them. And as a result, Creighton Prep is in a really unusual situation. Actually, just this morning, I interviewed one of their big playmakers, a kid by the name of Jeremiah Stovall. And Jeremiah sounded happy. He sounded enthusiastic. He's eager for his team to get another chance at North after getting absolutely annihilated in the regular season. And what he told me was that, frankly, Prep went into that game kind of thinking they were it, kind of thinking that the shoe was on the other foot. It was North that was going to have to find a way to beat them. Well, they did. They beat them by like 33 points. And I agree with you. I think there's a real chance this swings one way or the other. Prep's got so much tradition. They are loaded in their senior class. It's just that their senior class isn't as good as Omaha North's senior class. And North can score on anybody and has been doing it all year. And I suspect they probably win that by a couple or three touchdowns.
In C2, kind of interesting. If you just look at the seedings, you know, you got Aquinas, who's the 5 seed. They'll be taking on the 11 seed for the state title. But both of them with solid records, a lot of tradition for both Aquinas and for Hardington Cedar Catholic. How do you see that matchup?
Well, Bush, you know as good as anybody in this conversation about our friends there at Aquinas, at Cedar Catholic. These are two really outstanding teams. And as far as the seeding goes, it was insane to think that Cedar Catholic would be an 11 seed in a 16-team field. And Aquinas, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of really good football coaches in this state. I don't know that any of them are better than Ron Mimick. Ron Mimick teaches his teams to do about three or four things. They do them exceptionally well. They make very few mistakes on defense, and their kicking game is always tremendous. Well, the other night I saw some of the game against Battle Creek, and Battle Creek has got a big, strong, physical line that simply just got run circles around by Aquinas' defense. They're so fast. And Cedar Catholic, you know, Cedar Catholic played those guys into overtime the opening week of the season. It should be noted that was about the last time it was muddy in Nebraska. That field was a mess. It surely neutralized Aquinas' biggest strength, which is its speed. I think in a situation like this, boy, Aquinas just knows how to win games like this. I think Aquinas wins, you know, probably by a touchdown.
Yeah, that opening night, 7-0, the final score. Aquinas and Hardington Cedar Catholic. Cedar's only other loss was to the number one team all year long in Battle Creek, who Aquinas beat in the semifinals. Doug and Daddy Show live here from Cunningham's. We invite you to join us for our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan is on hand. Plenty of seats as the folks usually roll in about this time. But come on in. We're drawing out for the Minnesota tickets here today. You don't have to be present to win those. We've been putting those together all season long. But Sean is here to talk Husker football, answer your questions. We invite you in to join us here today at Cunningham's in downtown Kearney between now and 1 o'clock. Bob, the last two we get to here, C1, Arnie Johnson, swan song. Can Boone Central, Newman Grove get the job done?
Yeah, they can. I tell you what, to me, this shapes up as the game of the week. I mean, and it's not just because these teams are undefeated. They're undefeated. They are outstanding football teams. I've had a chance to see them both. I tell you what, I will say this much. I think Boone will win the game. I think Ashland Greenwood's program is on a rather rapid ascent. They're going to lose some real good players in this team, but I'm telling you what, their sophomore class is loaded. It's entirely possible their two best players are sophomores. By all accounts, the word I got last week when I was at their game, the junior high is stacked, and it just looks like Ashland Greenwood's got a lot of great things in front of it. I don't think one of them is going to be defending state champion next season. I think Boone is. I think Boone is hungry to win it. I think Boone last year got backed into a corner there at Cozad and got beat up pretty good, and that kind of thing sticks with a high school football team. And again, best player on the field, no doubt about it, is Wyatt Mazur. He is just a supremely gifted dual threat quarterback who plays behind an outstanding athletic offensive line. He's got big receivers. They got playmakers on defense. And I think Boone wins what will turn out to be one of the most exciting games we see all week.
And Missouri can return kicks as well, ask Kearney Catholic. Let's move on to Class B, the what's going to wrap everything up here. Both teams went on the road last week, an impressive win for Scott out in Scott's Bluff. Elkhorn goes to the Devil's Den and actually gets a win against the Bison in McCook. Both of these two teams have a great resume. How do you see B?
You had to get that in there, about the 95-yarder. My heart just sunk. I was driving from game to game, Bush, and I heard that, and I thought, well, if I could find somebody with, you know, a bugle, I think I'd play it. But anyway, you're right. This is the kind of game where, you know, they tape the field for eight-man games. They ought to do the same thing for this one. Just bring the sidelines into the hash marks and just make it like a cage match, because both these teams are going to throw an occasional pass, just, I don't know, because. But both of them want to line up and just try and dominate the other team at the line of scrimmage. First time around, regular season, in, you know, the last game of the regular season, the last game of that unbelievably tough district season, Scott, found a way to win the ball game. And I don't know. I think Scott's going to find a way to win it again. I got to tell you, I was really impressed with what Elkhorn did after the long bus ride going to McCook, beating a real veteran, senior-dominated, outstanding program the way they did. But I just feel like there's going to be something happens where it's going to enable Scott to win in what will almost undoubtedly be an outstanding defensive battle.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The state championships, all six games here on ESPN Radio Monday and Tuesday, and we'll get a chance to catch up with Bob at that time, too. Bob, it's been another great season, and we'll chat again here before the holidays, obviously. But enjoy Thanksgiving, which is coming up, and we'll see you in Lincoln, buddy.
Yeah, you know it, dude. Thanks a lot, Bush. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Bob, take care of yourself.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's in Kearney for our Husker Lunch. Come on in. Sean Callahan will be chatting Big Red football, recruiting, Minnesota, and a whole lot more here from 12 until 1. And we'll talk with Sean in just a moment. Folks, don't forget to get your T&L irrigation system ready to go for 2015 by scheduling your preventative maintenance program today. T&L will go over every inch of your pivot system to make sure it's ready to go for 2015. Time flies. It's hard to believe that this season is already behind us, but it is. T&L, your local T&L dealer. You can go online if you don't know who that is, TLIRR.com, or they're always more than willing to talk to you at the worldwide headquarters just outside of Hastings. T&L Irrigation Systems, been in business since the 1950s with over 65 countries worldwide served effectively. We will take a break. Be back with Sean Callahan and hope you can join us today here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch.
It's third down and six, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. Five.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for PrairieNet Internet today to receive a free month of service. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to support the Kearney Catholic High School Foundation through the Gold Dinner and Auction. The annual event is this Friday. We hope to see you there.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Daddy's Show rolling on here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road today at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch, where in just a few minutes, Sean Callahan will be talking football here with the folks at Cunningham's. And again, we invite you in if it's a short lunch or you get a late lunch. We're going to be here until 1 o'clock. Appreciate any time that you can spend with us during our Husker Lunch or any time here at Cunningham's. And folks, right now, Midway Auto Dealership is hiring General Motors ASE certified and Chrysler technicians, new and pre-owned product specialists. specialists and telephone operators. You can apply online today at midwaycareers.com as they continue to expand their business. Plus, if you are in the mood and are looking for a year-end deal, they've got them for you. Chevrolet has 0% APR for qualified buyers, plus $1,000 purchase bonus, cash plus, no monthly payments until next year on most new vehicles in stock. There are great deals on almost every vehicle on the lot that goes along with their hassle-free pricing at your Midway Auto dealership, thinkmidway.com, or if you're interested in changing careers or being part of the Midway team, go to midwaycareers.com and check out what's there for you. You can even fill out an application online. We're drawing out for the Minnesota tickets at the end of our lunch today. We're also going to have some other special prizes, including Sean Callahan's book. And Sean joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Sean, how do you feel?
I'm still thawing out for Madison, but it was obviously, I was on Big Red Wrap-Up last night for the whole show and had to kind of spin that to the whole state of Nebraska last night, so that was enjoyable. But I just to have a lead like that, 17-3, you had that feeling of this is going to be maybe the breakthrough game. They were flying around. You liked the direction the defense was going in that game. The offense was finishing drives, and just to have a little adversity thrown at these guys, a couple of plays by Melvin Gordon, and for them to react in the way they did, I really think, guys, the problem is not a physical talent issue. I think it's a mental, psychological issue. For whatever reason, this group of guys, this team, the trend really last 4 years has been to kind of panic and press in tough situations. And, you go back in the last 4 years, Nebraska has had 9 losses by 20 points or more. In 2009 and 2010, they had just 1 loss of 20 points or more. And I think when things go downhill, they obviously have gone really downhill, and it's a disturbing trend, and I think that's why a lot of people obviously are very frustrated right now.
I think people are also wondering a little bit about that possible hangover with this. And when you get a beat down like that, you either are very angry, played very tough the very next week, or you just kind of roll up in a ball and just take the beating. Do you see, you have a sense of how this team's going to respond, whether they're going to be junkyard dog or the dog they'll just lay there and take it?
Well, they're going to have easily one of their toughest games of the year on Saturday after, Minnesota will be the third best team they face after Wisconsin. And maybe Minnesota beats Wisconsin. We don't know. I mean, this Minnesota team is very well improved in the last year. And they are going to, if they beat Nebraska, it's because they've run the ball 50-plus times up in Nebraska on the inside. And if that happens Saturday, I don't know if I want to be in Memorial Stadium, because it would get pretty ugly to have a team like Minnesota with lesser talent come in there and just ram it right at Nebraska 50 times in that game with David Cobb and their running backs. And that's what happened last year in Minneapolis. So this is going to be a test. They're not going to come in and spread Nebraska out and try to dink and dunk them on Saturday. They're going to say, we're going to play with a bunch of tight ends and fullbacks, and we think our guys are tougher than your guys. We showed it to you last year. Maybe you didn't want to recruit any of our players. That's okay. We don't have any guys Nebraska would want on our roster, but we're still going to kick your butt in the back alley, and that's what they did last year, and they're going to try to do it on Saturday.
Sean Callahan of Husker Online is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We are live at Cunningham's, filling up for our Husker lunch, and he'll be chatting here for about the next hour, not on our show, but that's why you need to come down to Cunningham's and have a little lunch. Sean, but why did the offense struggle? Was it the weather? Was it because they were behind, or are they regressing at this point?
I think they're clearly regressing at this point, and a lot of it started with the Amir Abdullah injury. He got hurt the first time in the Illinois game. They took him out of that game after 2 carries in the second half, and they kind of downplayed it. But that knee, I think, has been an ongoing issue, and it really flared up versus Purdue. And without him giving them the consistency he's given them all of his career, I think it exposes a lot of the other issues maybe this offense has. And when you make Tommy Armstrong be the main guy, it's not a good thing. I mean, Amir Abdullah has to be kind of the workhorse of this offense for it to be what it is. But here's some numbers for you. Nebraska, after Illinois going into Michigan State, they're ranked number 8 in the nation in offense. They're now ranked 41st. So they have real – and that's hard to do this late in the year. And you take away Florida Atlantic, where they put up, what, 784 yards in that game? For the opener, a record day. This offense wouldn't even be ranked close to 41st. I mean, you're talking about – a middle-of-the-road offense at best, and I think that's disappointing because that was what this team was going to hang its hat on. No one is going to be able to stop this offense. But to me, the defense, yes, they played bad on Saturday, but I think the offense is equally to blame by the lack of drives they put together, the quick, you know, when you go three and out or you turn the ball over five times in a row, the defense doesn't have any time to make adjustments on the sidelines and catch their breath. They're going right back out there again. So it's kind of a you know, it goes back and forth. I don't blame just the defense for Saturday. I think Armstrong, Tim Beck, and the offense are equally to blame.
One thing I kind of noticed in looking at the game, even when Nebraska did have the lead, they had difficulty with some holes that Gordon had to run through. Offensively, there was still a few guys that missed some blocks and that sort of thing. It just seemed to me that both the offensive and defensive lines, and you talk about Minnesota wanting to kind of punch Nebraska in the mouth, Nebraska didn't. They had a glass jaw when they played Wisconsin on Saturday in both the offensive and defensive lines.
And I think the challenge with these teams, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, is they come at you with a different style that you don't really practice or prepare for all year because you don't see it. Everyone else is three wide or spread, and these teams come at you with the fullbacks and the tight ends. And that would Nebraska join the Big Ten? That's what we all thought the Big Ten was going to be. But there's really only about three teams that play that way, and you got to play them in the cold weather month of November where that type of football is at a premium. And I think for Nebraska, their style, as Sam McEwen wrote, it works great when the grass is green and the sun is shining and, you know, there's those August 30th openers. The offense looks great. But when the snow's coming down and the wind's blowing in Madison, it's a whole different deal. And I think Bo has to really look at that. Like, is this the best system for us to win in the Big Ten? You know, yeah, it wins in the first six games of the year when the elements aren't an issue. But here we are having the coldest November on record since like 85, I think is what I read in the Journal Star this week. You know, I think this offense is having a hard time, you know, being consistent in this type of condition. I mean, I think you need to be more physical like we see teams like Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin are doing.
When it comes to the regular season, it's been interesting because early on, Nebraska kept dropping a non-conference game and went into this point of the year with a couple of losses and finished strong. Now they have the opportunity to finish weakly, and I can only imagine if they drop two of the final three games, counting the bowl game, and the level of interest as we get ready for next year. So, Sean, we'll turn you over to the gang here and get closer to Turkey Day, and then we'll see you in Lincoln on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be at all the high school games. I'm doing the C1, C2, A and B, so I will be trying to stay warm on the sidelines. The forecast keeps getting better each day, so I'm glad about that.
It's warmer on the turf than it is in most places.
It'll be better than last year. That was really cold for that A game last year.
We'll wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
To some, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division protein design.
Carrier has a complete line of home heating products to keep your family comfortable this winter without burning your budget. With smart temperature management and remote access options, it's easier than ever to control your home's climate. And Carrier energy efficient systems can help reduce utility bills without sacrificing comfort. For more complete comfort and greater peace of mind, turn to the experts at Carrier.
Contact Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney or Holdridge.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.com. Or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Kroll Agency and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, two names you know and trust.
With locations in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden, Kroll Agency has simple health insurance solutions for you, your family, or business. As an independent and authorized producer of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Kroll Agency has the individual health insurance or employee group plan you need. Kroll Agency is proud to be a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska Diamond Broker. Visit them in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Doug and Danny Show wrapping things up so we can get Sean Callahan onto the floor here at Cunningham's and talk a little Husker football. Again, don't forget, if you love the Huskers, check out The Journey on the Big Ten Network tonight at 10 o'clock. A story on Amir Abdullah and Melvin Gordon and their friendship, plus Northwestern and Notre Dame. They upset them this weekend. They upset them back in 95. They'll take a look at that as well. The all-conference team we talked about for UNK volleyball, for Hastings volleyball. Lorgan Drupal is on the first team, as is Katie Zuha here today. And on the second team is Katie Plocky from Hastings College. So congratulations to those ladies. Katie Plocky is also the co-freshman of the year. Nebraska volleyball is at Indiana tonight. And then Nebraska women's basketball is at Washington State at 10. You can hear both of those on the Breeze 94.5 FM. That's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got Hastings College Doan basketball, 6 and 8, 12:30 KHAS tonight as well. We want to thank our guest, Dusty Jura from UNK, Director of Development, talking about the Loper Fund, also with cross-country coach Brady Bonsall as they head to Wayne for the regionals, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and, of course, Sean Callahan of Husker Online. If you get a chance, slide on down to Cunningham's for our Husker lunch or any time to enjoy some fun. Comedy night Thursday. You've got great music with Decoy in over the weekend and the Huskers at 11 o'clock. For Randy Bushcutter, I'm Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow live from Bandits in Grand Island.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.